18. Going to Africa was so much fun. I took a bunch of granola bars because I didn't know how I'd like the food. I didn't eat any of the granola bars. And I did like the food. The funny thing was, we did eat quite a bit, and I lost weight. There you go. Take that as you may find fit. In Mark chapter 16, let's look at verse 15. And he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Father, as we look at your word, as we look at your method, as we look at your plan to reach the world, may you touch our hearts. May you change our minds in the way we think about missions, that it matches with what you would have us to do. And Lord, as we move forward from here, us missionaries will move from this missions conference to others. And as the church here, Independent Baptist Church, goes into the community of Anchorage and around, that all of our actions would bring you honor and glory. We must work for the night is coming, yes. But we work so that we have crowns to cast at your feet and the rewards to give back to you. For you alone are worthy of the praise and the honor and the glory forever. We do ask that these things be done in Christ our Savior's name. Amen. Probably one of the most well-known missions verses in all the Bible is Mark 16:15. You have it up there. You have it up there. You have it back there. As an interesting side note, when we did visit a small church in Gabon, do you want to know what the verse was on the back of the wall painted up there in red? It was, marriage is honorable and all, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let that be an indicator of what the culture is like. That a church would say, that's what we need to print on our wall. All right, now I said it as a church, they believed in work salvation. I don't. I believe, as I already said, it's faith in Christ alone. You were saved for good works, to do good works that were prepared ahead of time for you, and you will be rewarded for those things which you have done, but your works do not save you. If you could pay your way to heaven, work your way to heaven, or drown yourself in the baptismal and go to heaven, Christ would have died in vain. Because then it would have been in the flesh. It would have been through your own power and through your own might. It would have been, as the scripture says, through corruptible seed. Amen? Because how can your works ever measure up? How can your sincerity ever measure up? How can these things ever measure up to what Christ finished? It's done. Now you need to surrender to him. So Mark chapter 16, Christ has already died on the cross. He's resurrected from the dead. He rose up to glory. And as he's going, he says, look, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew chapter 28 says, all power is given unto me. Oh, that's just in heaven. In heaven and on earth. I like to use that with the charismatics, brother, because they think they have to give God permission. God doesn't need our permission. Hey, I've seen God at work in Africa. I've seen God at work in Gabon without me there. It makes me angry. No, I'm just kidding. You want to be a part of where God is moving and working. And you say, Lord, you need missionaries. And God says, okay, yeah, I'm sending you because I want you to go there, but I don't need you. I want you. The psalmist wrote, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, because all the cattle are mine. You know, you can't give God a glass of water that he doesn't already own. Muse on that later on. But here, We say, go. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize them. You know, we start churches. Start Bible colleges. All these wonderful things, right? Well, does anyone notice that that verse is actually in the back of a book? Do you know what comes before that verse? Everything else in the book. Let's go back a few chapters, shall we? Let's go to Mark chapter 3. I'm giving you a little bit of the theology. We'll get into the practical side of things and where we can go from there. In Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 13, Scripture says, "And he, Jesus, goeth unto a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be sent forth to preach." Is that what your Bible says? Well, it should, but there should be something missing, right? What was missing? That they should be with him. Do you think it was important for Peter and John and James to be with Jesus before they got sent out to preach? Do you think it was important for Bartholomew and you know what, all the others? Do you think it was important for them to be with Christ before he sent them out? Of course it was. How would they know what to preach? How would they know how to pay their taxes without fishing? And not with nets. You know, he told Peter, go down and pulls out a fish and there's a coin in the fish's mouth. That's the kind of fishing I'd like to do, Pastor. Not that that's how you should provide for your family. I'm just, God provides. But suffice it to say, before he said, go ye into all the world, there was a come and sit at my feet. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. All these things of Christ gathering, teaching, training. How many times did you have to feed the multitudes with fish and bread? Anyone? He had to do it 2 times, right? They did it the first time, and there were 7 baskets filled. And he does it a second time, and there's 12 baskets filled. And then he begins to teach them about the leaven, and they think, oh my goodness, because we only have so many baskets. No. They kind of missed a little bit. But beside that, Christ was teaching them and training them. And the interesting thing is, we would think that the longer Christ spent time with them, the less time he would give them, because eventually, you know, the plan was that they'd go out on their own, right? When we try to train, give you a whole bunch right now, and we start to wean you off so that eventually you can do it yourself. But that's not what Christ did. Actually, if you read the scriptures and you go through Mark, you go through Matthew, you go through John, and you look at Christ, the longer he spent time with them, the more focused he became on them and the more dedicated time he gave towards them. Where you get to the final week and it's completely with the disciples. Pardon me 1 second. Everyone see this? No, this is a match. I do not light this match. It's specifically not a strike anywhere match because if I started fires in churches, people would not have me back. Imagine this match is your life. How many times can you light this match? Can you stop it and relight it? Do they make matches like that? I have no idea. Once this match is lit, you have precious little time to start a fire, do you not? And if you fail to start a fire, there's a deaf idiom. It's gone. Nothing's left. No, I also do not litter in church, especially not in front of the pastor. Friend, your life is already lit. Your time is waxing thinner and thinner. Do you know how to leave a fire that outlasts you? Do you know how to have a flame so that the wet and the cold and the night can all be dealt with because of a fire you left behind? You know, we say, set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. But do you know how to make it last longer than your life? Christ had 3, maybe 3.5 years of earthly ministry. He was going to the cross, and nothing was going to stop him. Not every promise Satan tried to throw at him. Not even the fear of death and the pain and the separation. In the garden, he sweat as it were great drops of blood. Nothing was stopping our Savior from the cross. So what was his plan to have a fire that remained? What was it? I'm interactive. I will pull people out of their seats. What was it? Disciples. As I walked across the streets of Africa and I saw buildings after building after building called churches, empty, abandoned, broken, I looked at my mission director, I says, how do I get our ministry not to end up like that? How could I go and try to raise support, say, pray for me, send me, if I'm expecting that when I die, my ministry's finished? Especially in a place that does not have a lasting ministry today. I need to follow Christ. I need to sit at His feet. I need to learn from Him day after day. I need to be able to commune with Him in His garden. I need to be in fellowship in that vine. And then I need to make more disciples. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, says, my son. Was Timothy his son? No. You could say he was a son in the faith. That is one thing. But he was a disciple of Paul. He followed after Paul. As someone who is a disciple, when I took a young man named Sam Vandalin under my arm, Bell was not yet born yet. And as I began to sit down and disciple Sam, work with Sam, break him out of his comfort zone, take him soul winning with me. We took him on a visit to a church as we were presenting, and I had him get up and give his testimony just to break him out of that comfort of, hey, I go to my church. Here's another church that is serving God. Praise the Lord for it. Now I want you to come and share your testimony with them. And he did it. And I trained him, and he taught a Sunday school class. And, you know, I didn't have a child yet, but now that I do, I even know I can verify this. You have a passion for these young men that you train. You're like, when they succeed, it's, yes! Better not do that again. Something, brother, something will break. But you know what I mean, right? When your kid succeeds, now if you succeed through your children, you need to talk to pastor. But when your child succeeds, you're like, yes! And your hope is that they go further than you do. Your hope is that they know God better than you do. Paul said, Timothy, my son, those things which thou hast seen and heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be willing, or who shall be able, sorry, to teach others also. So you have Paul teaches Timothy, teaches others also. And you see, the reason that we are here today is because the disciples followed that method. Discipleship works, folks. Discipleship works. It's strong. It can outlast you. It can also never happen and be completely broken. Who followed Moses out of Egypt? Who stood behind him and was his helper? Who followed him up to the mountain? Who, when Moses went into the tabernacle, went and followed Moses into the tabernacle? And even when Moses left the tabernacle, stayed in the tabernacle himself. Who was it? Joshua. Do you think it was any random roll of the almond branch that Joshua was the one that God picked to lead Israel? Do you think that was completely random? Why? He had been following after Moses. He'd been found a man of God and he followed after him. So Joshua takes the children of Israel into the promised land. You have him cross the Jordan. You have him take Jericho. You have them struggle a little bit with Ai, but then they go into the land and they pretty much drive almost everyone out. That's a whole other story. Again, ask your pastor. Who was behind Joshua as they marched around the walls? Who was with Joshua as he went and sought out Achan in the camp? Where was the man, or who was the man that followed behind him and heard Caleb say, give me that mountain? Who was the guy that was right here on Joshua's back? No one. Now I'm going to have to pull people out of their seats because I'm not getting feedback. Friends, look. You could be trained. You can learn. But if you're not teaching others, your ministry ends with you. Brother, how many you were telling, there's villages 2,000 to 70,000. You can't do it all. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you rely on God. I'm taking your son. God could take your son anyway. And hey, Africa needs him. So, you ready for this? No, you're not. Sit down. So here I am. I'm in Africa. And Levi. Camden. I'm sorry. Camden, thank you. So Camden, he's at Bible college, because you would probably send him. And you're trying to make do with the rest of your family. But a big part of your ministry is already gone. So I'm over here in Africa, and we're preaching the gospel. We do the A-OK sign, and we just throw it over our shoulder. And that's okay, it's not really A-OK, but you know what I mean. We preach. We preach the gospel. And we come back over here into the States, and we give messages and testimonies. We take a little, grab someone's nose and testimony. And we come over here into Europe and other countries and we work and we witness and we preach. But then what do I have to do? This is my exercise program. I have to come over here and do this again, don't I? And when I come over here, what's going on over there? And so I'm over here, I'm working, aren't I? Hey man, I'm earning my keep. And I'm coming over here, and because, when you get older and more people sign you up for more conferences and different things. So I'm over here working, and I'm going to work myself into a sweating frenzy. It's not going to be pretty, and it certainly won't smell nice. But then you come back over here, and you're preaching. You know what? After a while, you're going to break down doing that, aren't you? So what I need is I need Camden. Say you graduate from college. And Camden, he's going to go to a church for an internship. Let's assume you're going for pastor or something. And sometimes the pastor will say, okay, you came right out of Bible college. Go do the vacation Bible school. Do you know how to do a vacation Bible school? Like get the curriculum, set up the classes, train the teachers, do the scheduling? No? All right. Come over here and you're gonna teach a Sunday school class. Can you do that? Do you know how to get a curriculum? How to read it beforehand and schedule it and all that other sort of things? Okay, come on over here. Do you know how to work a nursery? Do you have a girlfriend? Do you have sisters? Call them up and ask them how to do a nursery. Hey, you laugh. That's it, 97% of the people coming out of Bible colleges. They get thrown in over their head and no one's willing to train them. I've seen it. I've seen men drop out of the ministry because they go and they have a head knowledge and they have no practical skills. They have no idea. You get a guy out of Bible college in May and expect him to have a vacation Bible school ready? It's not going to happen. I mean, you've got to be planning that thing months in advance. You signed him up to fail. And when he fails, you say, bless God, you'll do better next time, won't you? How does that make him feel? That does not edify him. That does not build him up. What would be better was for me to take Camden and say, Camden, you're too smart for your own good. You're a sophomore again. You know what sophomore means? Ask your father. And I begin to teach him. I show him how to get the right curriculums. I show him how to get the right music. I teach him how to train the teachers. And all the time, he's watching me. I do almost everything. All right? We'll do this. Like, you're grabbing your baseball cap and just go forward like this. So this is teaching. All right? So I'm teaching. And he's following me and copying me, because I need you to copy me, okay? Teaching. You can't teach me. You need to teach them. teaching. And then we sit down and we talk about what things he did. What did you see? What things could we improve upon? What did I do wrong? Because you just came out of college. It's been a while since I've been in college. I don't know all the right things to do. All right, I'm just floundering out here by myself, and then you came along and I have to look and impress you. So we teach, and we teach some more, all right? So you think you can do this? You know how to do this. You have the physical motor skills to do this. Great. All right, come over here. And here's going to be a Bible study. Now, do you know how to do a Bible study? All right, let me show you. We have 5 different books that we can use from for a Bible study. Personally, I like the book of John. And when we have the book of John, we go through the book and we answer 3 questions. Who is Jesus? What can Jesus do? And what does Jesus promise? So we go through the entire book of John and we go through those 3 questions. And this has phenomenal success with people who know about the Bible or read the Bible sporadically. But, you know, they say, I read my Bible. They just open it up to wherever it falls. And this way we're actually giving them a direct place to go to and something to look for. And the Holy Spirit has used that program immensely. I've used it in I didn't use it. I learned it by a man preaching in Las Vegas. And I've used it in New York. It works, all right? I can verify it works. I've gone through it. My wife has done it. It works. Okay, so we're going to go through the book of John, and we're going to ask how many questions? 3 questions. Do you remember what they are?
Who is Jesus? What did Jesus do?
What did Jesus do?
And what does he promise?
And what does he promise? Okay, great. So you got that. So I come over here and I begin to teach this Bible study. Can you do this? All right. So we're studying together. We're doing it together. And we're studying. What's he doing? He's learning, isn't he? This is not Bible college. This is way better. Bible colleges are good. Don't get me wrong. But these are the practical skills that are going to keep him in the ministry. No, you don't get a sick day. You need to pay attention because, see, the thing is, I want you to be able to do this. All right? So we get done with the Bible study, and we come back over here, and we get to the nursery. Now, you said you don't know how to work a nursery? Me neither. Let's go. I'm teasing. Not really. I don't know what I'm doing. Most of the time, babies cry when I approach them. So we get here. You know, God gave us wives to help us. So, you know, maybe you need to start praying about maybe if God wants you to have a wife. Not that I'm saying anything here, ladies. I'm not saying anything. I'm just, you've got a ministry and you need to do this. This is really hard now. Yeah. And you do this. This is caring. You're taking care of something. All right. So you got to care for the child, rock the child, bounce the baby, change the coat, care for the baby. All right? Very good, Camden. Come here. So when we're here, what are we doing? Teaching. Very good. When we go over here, what are we doing? Studying. How do you study? No, you read books, you write down questions. No, that's good. Study, okay? And let's go back over to the nursery real fast. Quick, time is of the essence. Jesus is coming soon. We care, right? All right. Come with me again. You're in much better shape than I am. You should be keeping up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you here to teach. I'm going to go do the Bible study. You ready? Go ahead. And I'm studying over here. He's still teaching. All right, go and do the Bible study. I'm going to take care of the nursery. I have a wife for this. Not just, honey, I love you. I'm teasing. You care. All right, Camden, come back and do the teaching again. And, hey, you know what? I'm still having this problem. I'm getting out of shape. I'm going to have a hernia. I need another man. God ordained male leadership, friends. I need a man. And I found this actually to be true. If you have men leading the church, you'll get the women and children to follow. Hey, that just happened. So he turned out great. I don't know what you're feeding him, but he turned out great. I'm going to take his younger brother. You are his younger brother, right? Great. Come on. Camden. Your name's still Camden. This is your younger brother. Now I want you to teach him how to teach.
This one, like a baseball cap.
They do not teach the same way. Hey, go teach him how to do a Bible study. All right, show them how to do the nursery. No, you gotta. Yeah, you do the wrong sign and we're all in trouble. There we go. All right. Camden, go do the Bible study. You go teach Vacation Bible School. Oh, this is a lot easier. You know what? You go find someone and teach them. Camden, go find another man. Bring him up here and teach him. Hurry. Pastor's got me on a limit. All right, he's young. Start him in the nursery. He can grow up. You don't have to keep him here. Mission accomplished, ladies and gentlemen. I can finally go to heaven, and they're going to take the work after me. Hey, you gentlemen, you think you're going to keep training other people? You better. I have churches like this one that support me. And I want them to have fruit that lasts and lasts and lasts and multiplies. Thank you, guys. You can go sit down. Did I make my point?
Yes, sir.
How important is that? That was Christ's method. It's not a program. Programs lack power. Programs, I did miss one thing. Anyone want to take a guess at what I missed? Thank you. I should have been teaching them how to pray, shouldn't I? Friends, that's what we need to be doing, not just the missionaries, not just the pastor, not just the deacons. But you need to be growing in this word and teaching others and moving forward. Because if you put it all onto Pastor McGovern's back and say, hey, Pastor, you did a phenomenal job on New Ireland. Hey, just do everything here in Anchorage for us. That doesn't work. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11, 12, and 13 says, the Bible says that God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. That means it's your responsibility. The pastor, the teachers, they train you, they teach you, but it's your responsibility to go and to work the work of Christ. That's what I'm going to be doing in Africa. Then training up leaders. Because, hey, malaria can take me home to heaven. They can kick me out of the country. But the work of God must go on. That fire must continue. Because the darkness is real. And we need to pierce it with the light of the gospel. The Bible says if it is hid to them that are lost. For though Satan has blinded the eyes of them, lest they should see and believe. But Jesus is the light. He is the light of the world. Dear Father, we thank you again for this time. As we've looked at men are your method. I think of the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading the Bible, but you would rather have Philip preach Christ to him. You had Cornelius, who was a good man, but you'd rather have Peter go and preach the gospel than even an angel. Lord, you use men. You use people like me, Brother King, Brother McGovern, and all these others. Lord, may you receive the honor and glory. May we apply these things to our hearts and to our lives, that you would receive the treasure and the souls that the harvest that you so rightfully deserve. We ask these things in Christ, our Savior's name.
Amen. Amen. Look up here just for a second. We're going to a time of invitation. Well, I appreciate that excellent message on the importance of discipleship. And as we saw there in the Gospel of Mark chapter 3, very true. He pulled them aside to spend time with him and then send them out. Discipleship is key, something we all should be doing. Matter of fact, you think about that, you think about it this way. You don't have to be the pastor to do that. If each one of us would win one person to the Lord this year and disciple that one, and then just repeat that process, do you realize how rapid we would reach Anchorage? It would be incredibly fast. I remember I was in a conference once, and somebody broke down the figures. You'd reach the world in about 30 years at that rate. If everybody was to trust Christ and one a year, it was just incredible, and that process just repeats. But that certainly is the key, that discipleship. And so how is your walk with the Lord? Would you be able to disciple somebody based on your walk? Where is that? If not, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Why don't you come to the Lord about that? Father in heaven, I pray that you bless this invitation, work in hearts and lives. Lord, I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's turn to page 470. If you need to come and pray here.